joins those two thoughts together. Maturity and fruitfulness, the certainty of God's promises. And then Hebrews 6 and verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those, and this is the bit, who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And there's this amazing truth there. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. That's it. That's it. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. God is good. God is faithful. God is powerful. God gives us an inheritance, generally for us all as his children, specifically through his word and his calling and his destiny to each person. And our part in claiming that inheritance is faith and patience. It's so easy that a fish could do it. Faith and patience. Now, we've talked about faith lots and lots recently, so I don't want to say too much about it. I want to repeat one thing I've said. I've said it twice already, and I don't think everyone's got it, so I'm going to say it again. The quicker we obey, the more we grow in faith. And the more we grow in faith, the quicker we obey. There is such a strong link between faith and obedience. And there are many, many people who long to be giants in faith who fall at this first hurdle. You will never be giants in faith if you don't learn to obey quickly. You cannot bypass the obedience thing. And it doesn't matter how full of faith you look or how super spiritual you look. If you do not learn quick obedience, you will not be growing quickly in faith. You want to grow in faith? Learn to obey quickly. And secondly, to grow in faith, we may well need to get rid of the stronghold of unbelief. And specifically, it is the scheme of thinking within believers that tells us that Christ-likeness is impossible. And that way of thinking holds all further spiritual growth hostage. If we do not believe that Christ-likeness is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, that thinking holds all further spiritual growth hostage. It keeps us living in our past, who we were instead of who we are. It keeps us believing that godly living is a pipe dream. It keeps us believing that sin is an inevitable part of our lifestyle rather than an occasional stumble. It sets us up for failure. It sets the bar low. We have grace. We have the love of God. We have the power of the Spirit. We're in a season, an era of grace. We don't have to worry about that. So when I say this stuff about setting the bar higher, it's got nothing to do with condemnation and everything to do with Christ-likeness. Would you rather be Christ-like or condemned? Please don't answer unless it's Christ-like. It deceives us concerning the true power of the risen Jesus in our life, unbelief does. Francis Frangipane says this: this lie and the chains it places upon our hearts must be stripped from our lives. And he goes on to, this is a little bit of a prayer that he gets people to pray. Listen to this. Because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. Do you agree with that? And I believe that I will go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's image as I walk with God. Do you believe that too? Are you living in the light of that? Where's the bar? Let's say that together. Because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, repeat after me, because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. And I believe that I will go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's image as I walk with God. How does that feel? Feels good, doesn't it? Should we say it again? Because what's happening as we're saying it, especially for those of you who are believing it, you need to believe what you believe. Then unbelief is getting a kicking. Right here, right now. Would you like to give unbelief a good kicking? Oh, yeah. Let's try it again then. Because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. And I believe that I will go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's image as I walk with God. Now, do you know one of the reasons why I know that unbelief has got a good kicking? Is there's the witness of the Spirit. The second time people said it twice as loud. And some of you, even now, you have lightened, haven't you? We can. A third time is what we're going for. Because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. And I believe that I will go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's likeness as I walk with God. Do you believe that? Any extra unbelief that's still here, you go now in Jesus' name, because you're not welcome. This is a place of belief, isn't it, Dan? Place of belief. So anyway, that's faith. Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Patience. What do you think of when you hear the word patience? Not you. Because you're already thinking the wrong things. Do you think of standing quietly in a queue? Do you think of not reacting to the hoon? Do you think of gently tapping your fingers or whistling a tune while you wait for that download? Now, that only gives a tiny, tiny part of the word's true meaning. But patience is so much more than passive acceptance. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those whose faith and patience inherit what's been promised. Now, patience in that context means this: forbearance, which is good-natured tolerance of delay. Yeah, there's some work to be done, isn't there? And fortitude. Fortitude, which is the strength of mind to bear adversity with courage. In other words, staying strong and staying sweet. Staying strong and staying sweet. Now, the roots of this word are in the word long, or as in distance or time, and the word passion, as in taking effort and intensity, as in a long breath. So maintaining passion over the long haul. So what the writer is saying is, don't be lazy physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. Be ready to keep going as long as it takes. Bear troubles with courage. Stay strong in your spirit and sweet in your disposition, and keep your passion to press in for all that God has promised, no matter how long it takes. Now, that's good stuff, isn't it? So patience is active. Patience is passionate. Patience is strong. You see, you were more patient than you thought you were. Patience is geared towards a specific end, inheriting God's promises. And it requires the discipline to not react and the discipline to continue to act. You'll be very familiar with this passage. I'm going to read it to you so you can get cross, and then I'll explain a bit about it. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. New King James, King James, develops patience. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the winds. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Do you see what's been put together again? Faith and patience. Now, that word perseverance, translated patience, comes from another root word which gives another aspect of the meaning of patience. It's cheerful or hopeful endurance. Constancy, which is faithfulness and dependability, and it will include waiting. So, when your faith is tested through trials, James says, when it's hard going, when you don't seem to be getting what's promised, faithful, hope-filled endurance is being developed. And the finished work of that sort of patience is maturity, completeness, and the fullest understanding of that word, perfection or wholeness. So we are being transformed into Christ's image. We're being changed from glory to glory, and now we believe that. We've been given promises concerning our calling and our destiny. We've got God's today word spoken over us and God's timeless word through the Bible. Positionally, that has already happened to us. Positionally, that's a done deal. You receive the prophetic word, it's a done deal positionally. You're seated in heavenly places. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You're destined for eternal life. In fact, you're engaged in it even now. Jesus paid the price for us to enter into the fullness of all he has for us. It is finished. Jesus has done his work, and God will keep his word. But there's something for us to do to inherit what is ours already. There's a work that perseverance has to complete, that patience has to complete to make us whole, to make us mature. It is finished, but he hasn't finished with us. It is finished, but we haven't finished. And our part in this is faith and patience. If patience or perseverance is what will bring completeness and bring wholeness and bring maturity, then if we don't persevere, or if we won't persevere, we will be lacking what could be ours. The whole process of wholeness and completeness will be slowed down because some of what needs to happen will only happen through patient, enduring hope. It'll only happen through patient, enduring hope. And if we need to persevere, guess what? That means that the trials won't all go away. Because if they did, we wouldn't need to persevere. And if we didn't persevere, we wouldn't get the blessings that only perseverance can bring. Do you get it? We need to persevere. Because perseverance has got a work to do in us that only perseverance can do. So if you want the easy way to completeness, there isn't one. Because there's some stuff that only perseverance will bring about. It's in the Bible. James doesn't say, ask for your trials to be taken away. And then ask some more and then get really peed off. Does he say that? He does not. Because that's not very pleasant language. But that's how so many Christians behave. I said it like that because that's exactly what happens. If we've asked and it continues, maybe we need to find out if this is about patience and perseverance. If it is, we move to plan B. Consider it pure joy. Confident that God is doing something in us that only patient, hopeful joy will complete. Patient, faithful hope can. And then we ask him for wisdom to know how best to respond in that. And that's where we need faith that he will give us wisdom. We trust Father for the wisdom and strength that we need. We trust him with what he is completing in us. We partner with him for our full inheritance. Now, I can say that for me, the last few months have been pretty rough. In fact, they'd fall beyond the pretty rough category. And there's all sort of stuff that's kicked off that has been intimidating, that's been discouraging, that has been confusing, that has made me want to give up. That has made me at times doubt my gifts and doubt my calling and doubt my wisdom and doubt my discernment. That's what it's done at times. And do you know what? After frequent requests, it didn't go away. The stuff. Plan B. Consider it pure joy and ask for wisdom. What are you doing in this, Father? And the headlines of what God said to me that he was doing in this was, I am strengthening and establishing you in who you are. I am strengthening and establishing you in who you are. And what you're coming up against is challenging who you are. And I want you to stand firm in who you are and respond out of it with faith and patience. And this is where it gets exciting. You just don't believe me, do you? This is where it gets exciting because all I have to do is trust and persevere. And then I can cooperate in that way with the Holy Spirit in seeing my character and my Christ-likeness grow in order to carry the calling and walk into the promises that are mine. So while everyone else around can think that here I am just slumped in these circumstances and what a horrible situation it must be, all I need is faith and patience. And God will use those circumstances to be part of the process of me inheriting the promises. And it might be tough, but I know how to do faith and I know how to do perseverance. You can talk to Joe about how well I've done it later. But do you see what I'm saying? At times when you think that all you're doing is hanging in there, you're being made whole and mature and complete. At times when all you think you're doing is standing firm and just about remaining standing, you're inheriting your promises. Because that's the only bit you have to do. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? Because God's promises are certain and sure, and his word is certain and sure. So he's done what he needs to do, and Jesus says it is finished. So it's been completed. This is our bit. Now, sadly, often we're rubbish at it. We're rubbish at trusting God, and we're rubbish at being patient and enduring. We whinge and we moan. Australians talk about no right to whinge. You seem to have a right to whinge. So what we need to do is ask for wisdom to know how to do it right. Trust Father in the process. Walk it out with in relationship with him. Seek to stay strong. Seek to stay sweet. Maintain passion for the long haul. Stay faithful. Stay in a place of hope. Keep going. There's pretty much nothing passive about patience or faith, but they both need to come from a place of peace, not striving. Many of us have learned how to work hard physically, mentally, study, work, but actually can be spiritually lazy, complacent, ill-disciplined, easily distracted and discouraged, prone to self-pity. Graham Cook, I've mentioned this before at the last conference, he's one of his stories. He talks about the fact that his proneness to self-pity. And he used to go to his mentor, who was called Arthur, and he used to moan at him about how terrible it was. And Arthur would just go, "Die quietly, Graham. Nobody wants to hear you screaming." And he was talking about dealing with the flesh, dealing with self. This is a slight digression, but I was reading, I think, was it Francis Frangipane, The Three Battlegrounds, and he talks about how what Satan, the judgment that's placed on him after what happens in the garden, is that he's condemned to eat dust. Now, we know that isn't simply something saying that from now on snakes all eat dust, because we know they don't eat dust. It is something that is symbolic and spiritual. And if you think about us, we're made of dust, aren't we? And to dust we return. So that's talking about our fleshly nature. So what does Satan feed on? He feeds on our carnality. The bits that aren't crucified, the bits that where we are selfish, the bits where we look to meet needs, fleshly needs rather than spiritual needs, the bits where we're looking to find stuff in places other than God, Satan can feast on that. If that's not there, you go somewhere else looking for a snack. Graham says he once sent 10 pages of moaning to this guy, his mentor. He got a postcard back where the address was the longest bit that was on it. And otherwise, he just wrote DQ, love Arthur, die quietly. And part of this patient perseverance is that we need to actually learn to die quietly. Sometimes we make such a fuss. We draw so much attention to our struggles that actually we lose the blessing that perseverance would bring because we're not persevering. We lose it because we get into self-pity and self. The stakes are high here. We're talking about more than promotion or qualification or bonuses. We're talking about inheriting the promises of God. He's done what he needs to do. He's given us the resources we need through the Holy Spirit. And now we're encouraged to move beyond any complacency and passivity, any laziness, so that faith and patience will lead us to our inheritance. That's our part. So that perseverance will complete its work and we will be mature, complete, and whole. It's not a bad deal, actually, is it? So, what does that look like for you? Where are you this evening being challenged to step up? What's the dust that the enemy gets to feed on all the time? Where are we dying really loudly so that nearly everyone can hear our screams? Where are we challenged to step up? What questions do we need to ask Father about what's going on in those situations where it seems to be taking a long time? What's he doing? What's he strengthening and establishing us in? What's he teaching us? In what areas is he perfecting us? Where do we need wisdom? We're going into a break from evenings. We're going for some break from school, uni, work. But we're not going on a break from the presence and the power and the love of God. There is no holiday season. And I so much don't want anyone to lose ground. In fact, what I want to happen is that when we meet together, so much ground has been gained that it's going to be a truly, truly wonderful experience when we meet together. We're going, whoa, didn't recognize you. You're so mature. Don't lose ground. Partner with faith and partner with patience for your inheritance. It's been given to you. Faith and patience will enable you to get it. I think that's about it. I'd like to pray for you. Look, there's some stuff kicked up off in some of you. You've been going, oh yeah. So what those oh yeah moments. Yeah, he's ready. Yeah. You know those oh yeah moments that any of you had? Well, you just pray into those right now. And just go, Lord, thanks for that insight, and I'm intending to take hold of that. I got some good stuff myself, even as I was speaking, that I didn't expect to be saying. So that's really encouraged me. Lord, I want to thank you that you are changing us from glory to glory. That you are giving us the mind of Christ. And that even tonight, for some here, there are some new thoughts. Where some of the old thoughts weren't working very well, there are some new thoughts. I want to ask that by your Holy Spirit that you will establish those thoughts now. You will establish them so that they sink deep into each spirit. I want to thank you, Lord, that for some there's a completely different way of thinking about the troubles that they're going through at the moment. A different way of understanding what you are doing and a different way of understanding how to partner with it. Thank you that there's a different understanding about what patience and perseverance is. And I ask, Lord, that you will, right in this moment, raise faith, raise hope, and raise that determination to partner in the process to enable us to lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of for us already. So, Lord, where there's been wrong thinking and where there's been deceit, may that just be broken right now. Every lie from the enemy that has changed our perspective unhelpfully. And may your truth set us free. And Lord, we say and we stand together, believing that because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are new creations. We believe that we'll go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's image as we walk with God. And we choose faith and patience because, Lord, we want our inheritance. And we want stuff to give away. In Jesus' name, amen.